Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm weirdly joined here by Laurie Blake.
Hello.
Not Luke Owen.
What a weird combination.
Well, I think it's weird because we've never done a podcast intro and outro together.
No, I know. Because normally we just do WWE booking and just do the same feud over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this is us, new era.
Yeah.
We're trying something different. Yeah. Slash, Luke had to be at home today.
And also, Luke's always like, hey, Ollie, when I go away, remember to do the podcast intro and outros with Laurie for the Wrestle Ramble. And we get there, and I'm like, oh my God, there's so much work to do. Laurie, we're dropping the podcast intros and outros. But today we're sailing.
We're pretty easy. We're pretty, now,
yeah, it's good. So, what you been up to?
What have I been up to? I played D&D last night for the first time since Christmas. That was fun.
Yeah.
Been hanging around in general. Nothing much. What about you? Yeah.
Played Pokemon last night.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Anna was out. She started a handstand course.
Ooh.
Mm.
Where are you in Pokemon? We could jazz this up at any point we wanted to, really, before people just start drifting off. Where are you in Pokemon?
I'm at Silphco.
Right.
I've just defeated the Team Rocket in their Cerulean City layer, and then I've gone up Pokemon Tower, the Tower of
Celadon
City. Sorry, man.
Back of the game corner, which isn't a game. It's not a game corner in this one, is it?
I can't play the games.
No.
But you could play the games in the original.
Yeah, because it was like a pachinko game, but now it's something else.
And I was not... Sorry, spoilers for Pokemon Let's Go, and a game that's been out for about 20 years. Really.
All these facts are pretty much the same. Yeah.
I wasn't prepared for the Cubone's mother being revealed as a ghost and then not being saved. It just disintegrates in little...
Mm.
So she was dead.
Yes.
So it was. I had to come to terms with the fact that Pokemon can die.
Yeah, well, that's what Lavender... That's what the tower is. The Pokemon Tower is a graveyard for Pokemon, and that's why all the ghost Pokemon live there.
I just thought it was setting up that I would be able to save this one from death or Team Rocket's evil clutches.
No.
It was dark.
It was dark. But the weird thing is, it's odd because that's at odds with this is some Pokemon lore for you here.
Okay.
Or slash,
because you're very well versed in Pokemon lore.
Yeah, because I'm a sad act. the reason people think about Cubone, and the Pokedex entry for Cubone says that it wears the skull of its mother on its head. Mm. So the little skull that Cubone is wearing is the skull of its mother.
Wow.
However, people believe that Kangaskhan and the little Kangaskhan baby is meant to be Cubone. And so it's a Kangaskhan that's died, and then Cubone is wearing the skull of that. So then Marowak isn't the mother of Cubone. It is an evolved older Cubone.
So Kazakhstans give birth to Cubones.
Kazakhstans.
Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Gives birth to Cubone that evolves into Marowak. Mm. Where are all the Genghis Khans coming from?
I don't know.
There's a logic hole here.
There is a logic hole. But this is also just people think that originally Cubone was just meant to evolve into Kangaskhan. and then Marowak was made up later. Mm. So they just sort of moved Kangaskhan off into its own little thing.
The behind-the-scenes production issues of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Mm. But genuinely, that sounded like I was being cynical and jokey. I like anything backstage.
There you are.
That's why I love wrestling. So the people who are still with us, we will talk about WWE.
Once we've got through the Pokemon stuff.
But Luke has also sent me through a bunch of emails to talk about. So first off, a pretty good Rusev Hay. Do you get Rusev Hayes when you do the NXT podcast?
Yeah, I know what they are. I know of them.
I just like explaining it. I think it's a fun joke name. So this is from David Hoolagard. Hey, hello, Luke, Ollie, and/or Laurie. Mm-hmm. Laurie, in this instance, you may remember me as the guy who wrote in after Survivor Series weekend and told you about my Rusev Hay adjacent encounter with front row super fans Simon and Alice, the long haired
yes,
guy and his mother,
mystery man.
Apparently, they're awesome and really, really nice in real life. I told you in that email that I'd had many different Rusev Hays that weekend, and I've come back to share my favourite one, which was the most amazingly awkward experience I've ever had with someone famous.
Whoa.
So he says that there's requires a bit of setup. It doesn't require as much setup as he's put. What he's done is name drop that he met Bobby Lashley and Samoa Joe. So well done. But here we go.
Big claps for that.
So he was part of like a VIP signing thing and he was instructed to head into the arena. There were bathrooms located in the hall right outside the room, so my wife and I decided to make a quick stop before sitting through all 27 hours of Survivor Series.
He's seen someone's todger, hasn't he?
They had a poo, effectively. After completing my business, the poo, I waited in the dimly lit hallway for my wife. Dimly lit is a key factor here. An employee of the arena walked by and asked where I was going because she needed to clear the hall for another VIP event. I explained that I was waiting for my wife and would be happy to wait elsewhere, to which she replied, "No, that's okay, you're fine." A few moments later, one of WWE's photographers walked by. I'd seen him earlier in our meet and greet, quietly lurking about like Lars Sullivan, and I politely said hello, asked him how his day was going, yada, yada, yada. And he came over and, like, rather than just stand on the side, they got into a chat, this photographer. We chatted for only a bit before a woman approached us and joined the conversation. That woman was none other than Stephanie McMahon.
Whoa.
Yeah. After exchanging pleasantries with the photographer and, undoubtedly, a big poo in the toilet, she turned her attention toward me. She looked me up and down with a smile on her face, clearly not recognizing me, and slyly scanning for my name tag. Me, dressed in a flat cap, jeans, and an Asuka t-shirt, I probably wasn't up to WWE's dress code for the event. Stephanie looked me in the eyes, leaned in toward me with the brightest smile you can possibly imagine, and said with a playful chuckle, "We should probably try to get some more lights in this hallway, huh?" She then said goodbye, and along with the photographer, proceeded to one of the nearby private rooms.
Wow.
So, I think she thought he worked at the arena.
Mm.
And it was his job to get more lights. Yeah.
Bring me more lights!
How intimidating. He said that So a very commanding presence. Mm. And for a few moments afterwards, I genuinely contemplated how I was going to solve the light situation.
Anything you say, Stephanie.
Yeah. That's Stephanie's intense power in real life. Hey. Emasculating everyone.
That's what
in
she does,
sight.
Yeah.
I think that's scary. I think that's
cutting off balls wherever she goes.
That's the sort of thing that, like, if it was just him and Stephanie, psychopath Stephanie in my head said with a playful chuckle, "We should probably try to get some more lights in this hallway, huh?" Lights cut out. That's the last thing you see. You're dead after that.
Yeah. So yeah. That's when the knife comes in. They'll never catch me.
But there's some pictures of him with Bobby Lashley and his wife and Samoa Joe there.
Aww.
Yeah.
Pre-poo.
Pre-poo. Well, Samoa Joe could have been post-poo.
Maybe.
But yeah. Great intro. I think that's one of the best intros ever.
Yeah, Pokemon.
Pokemon. We got Pokemon in there. We talked about Stephanie potentially killing someone. Legal reasons. Potentially.
Yeah.
Did not kill anyone.
Reportedly. I mean...
So how does Luke do this? Because he's changed how... I haven't talked to him about this, but he's changed how he does the podcast intros into the show.
Mm.
Luke's going to be editing this.
He normally just goes, let's get on with the show.
He used to do that, and that's what I became
comfortable
with.
So what's he done?
He goes, oh, we've got a big show up for you today. We're talking this thing and this thing. And it was, I'd find out our thoughts on Raw. Here it is.
If you'd have just said things instead of saying this thing, you would have just have done it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd be like way closer to the show rather than just dragging out this intro bit now.
I think we should
have
just
quietly,
stop.
Just quietly.
Just stop talking. It's a show! We're talking about that Ronda Rousey versus Sasha Banks Royal Rumble match announcement, it seems, after a momentum-filled year for Banks.
She's been absolutely on fire, hasn't she?
Yeah.
In flagrante, or whatever the word is. In fuego. That's what she's been doing.
All-time classic feud with Bayley, and then they became the tag team. And then just classic after classic with the Riot Squad. And the Riot Squad. And the Riot Squad.
An interchangeable third person in their tag team.
Get in there, Ember Moon. Get in there, Natalia.
Have a crack. Go see what happens.
Give them a rub.
It barely matters.
So do you want to do your funny, succinct answer for is it too late for Sasha Banks here?
Yes. Absolutely. Isn't it just? It's sad, really, isn't it? Mm. Because everything that Ronda Rousey said in the beginning of this promo is kind of true. Like, Sasha Banks is up there with your Charlotte Flairs and your Becky Lynch of the world. Especially when she was heel Sasha Banks. She was up there on terms of like the character work and stuff as well, as with the whole new Becky thing. And it's just a shame that she's just been languishing in this tag team with Bayley, doing nothing, waiting for tag titles. That will never come.
They're not coming.
They're never coming. They've been promised. Much like Heavy Machinery.
Yeah.
They're not going to turn up.
On their way to WWE sometime titles, in mid-2024.
Tag titles. Don't have legs. They're never going to make it. No. Can't walk.
So this was part of the largest segment. It was billed throughout the night as the most... I think even last week this was promoted. Those really fun Moment of Bliss segments that Alexa Bliss did last year, where she did a fake anti-bullying PSA about Nia Jax. They've taken that concept and made it boring.
Mm.
Yeah, so this is now a live talk show segment.
It's now Miss TV.
Yeah, but on a ramp with someone who brings Alexa Bliss coffee. And yeah, it was just a bit clunky. And her first guest was Ronda Rousey, and Rousey talked about how... Well, she listed off all these accomplishments, like you were saying, that the person I want to face next has wrestling more in their DNA than Charlotte Flair, daughter of Ric Flair, and more fire than Becky Lynch. And I was like, okay, it's Natalia. But no, it was Sasha Banks, and the crowd booed.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Considering she's still... get to pop when her music plays. So it's weird to be like, oh, boo. I think people were just waiting for it to be Becky now. I think that's the problem.
Becky would have been a better one.
The problem is because everyone's sitting there going like, can we just start the Becky thing now? Like, it's almost WrestleMania time. Let's have the Becky thing.
Mm.
But we've got to get through the Rumble and this placeholder match.
That's the problem. So not only has this Sasha Banks... I'm actually quite excited for a Banks-Rousey match. I still love Sasha Banks. She was so good in NXT, and she's had so many good matches here and there that I'm still very much invested in her. But she's been, treated terribly in 2018. And although I'm excited for the match, I just don't see this being anything other than a placeholder.
No.
Because that's where you put those types of feuds. You put them in... The Royal Rumble is sold on the Royal Rumble match. And your big title matches can kind of be little filler things just to stop a gap between now and WrestleMania. And that's... I mean, no one thinks she's going to win, right?
Absolutely not. No, there was at no point... I barely thought she was going to win the match last night. So, I just think it's just going to be what it is, isn't it? A pretty good match. A nice outing for Sasha Banks to be in a main event sort of Raw women's thing for once in the last, year and a half? This will be the first time she's been in the title picture?
Yeah, after she was, they were the first, her and Charlotte were the first ever women's main event of a pay-per-view, a men's pay-per-view with their Hell in a Cell match.
And they had all those amazing. Ooh, that was weird. They had all those amazing Raw matches as well. With the they did the Falls Count Anywhere match that was amazing. They traded the title backwards and forwards over a period of weeks. That was wicked.
Maybe too many times.
Probably too many times, but I thought it was still quite exciting.
It's the feud that made Charlotte a 20-time champion already, just because they switched it back and forth. But yeah, so as excited as I am about the Banks Rousey match, I just. This is off a year where they did nothing with her, and it's quite obvious that it's a placeholder feud.
Yes. I mean, she even came out in the Boss and Hug Connection gear. It's like, you couldn't be more, I am not a single star. I will not be the champion at the end of this because I am in a tag team waiting for there to be something to have be a tag team for. That's, what a dumb choice.
That's another thing. Like in sometimes in feuds and storylines, when there's that's like the B thing and the larger thing is over here and you're waiting to get to it, it's hard to get invested in the current feud because you know that this next thing's going to happen. And sometimes predictability isn't bad because that's sometimes a mark of good storytelling. But in this one, just because every other ball has been dropped around it and now they've just gone, hey, new era, we're getting it. And she did say bitch here.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
That was fun.
That was fun.
So Nia Jax came after Rousey said that it's going to be Sasha Banks. Nia Jax came out and was like, that's silly. I enjoyed Nia's promo work here.
Nia sounded a little off here. Her voice was a
Do
bit...
Do you think?
Her voice was a bit strange for the beginning. It sounded like she was a bit ill. She had a slight sort of like, Kermit the Frog.
She went nasal.
Yeah, she was very nasal. She was,
it's a new character.
Yeah, her new character is a Muppet.
So I've seen a lot of people online say that Nia Jax's promo was terrible.
I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it either. I quite like the way that she no-sold the line. Like, as they were going into commercial, after Sasha Banks had just said, what line, bitch? Or bitch, what line? Because Nia said, get in line to Sasha Banks. Nia just recoiled back on the chair and went, yeah, I'm a bit of a bitch. But I'm the bitch. I'm not a bitch.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite naturalistic.
Yeah, I liked it.
But some people were like, you should sell an insult sometimes.
People are just very anti-Nia, aren't they?
Well, that's where my defense of Nia ends.
Yeah.
Because the ensuing Banks Nia Jax match.
That was a hot mess.
Wasn't very good. Nia's very good at power spots.
Yes.
And those bits were good.
There were good ideas in this match. I think the problem is that all of the offense that was meant to be cool flubbed. And it was just like, oh, that's such a shame because that is actually a really good idea and a really cool spot. And they just messed it up.
Yeah.
And the only one they really nailed was the gorilla press onto the crate or whatever.
The production box.
The suspicious crate that was just happened to be much closer to the ring than it normally is. Here we are.
But no one can see that sitting behind. Yeah, just it's fine there. It's fine. Just leave it there in front of the audience.
Because they're going to get Sasha Banks deposited in front of them.
There that's worth the ticket price.
That's it.
But the
obstructed view. Sasha Banks.
That's the problem. They paced out this match, and it was a long match, went like 15 minutes. Not the best way to showcase Nia. Although Nia Jax and Banks have had quite a few really good matches together before, It was Nia Jax beating down Banks, which I thought worked well in those particular spots. But when Banks came back, Nia Jax would botch whatever move was being done on her. So it would cut it all off.
Yeah.
And it didn't. We're talking about a year of no momentum for 2018. Okay, now's the time for Sasha to start up at going into the match with Rousey. And she couldn't do that.
No.
I'm starting to think Nia Jax isn't a good wrestler.
What?
What?
How? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think the botches here killed all of Sasha's momentum because every single one of them made it look like she took more damage. That was the
major problem.
Every single one she did was like, oh, she's hurt herself way more than Nia, and Nia has been on top for the whole match anyway. So like, Sasha might as well just been like, I give up.
And the best one of these, or also the worst, was there's a spot on the apron. Nia Jax is kind of doubled over. Sasha Banks runs to her. And I assume what they were trying to do was Sasha does a Hurricane Rana and Nia Jax's head was going to go into the apron. Ooh, big spot. But what it looked like was Banks jumped up onto Nia Jax's shoulders, powerbombed herself, while Nia Jax just laid down on the ring quite comfortably.
It's one of those things, I don't know if she was deciding whether she wanted to roll off or spike herself on the ring.
Stuck between the two, didn't she?
Like, the spot that it looked like it was going to be was Zelina Vega's Spike Rana thing that she does, which would have been wicked.
Yeah.
If it was done properly.
Yeah, it's all good putting it down on paper, being like, can you actually do these ideas? If you can't, probably best to leave them off. I particularly liked when they did a super slow motion replay of it afterwards, and the announcers tried to figure out what happened. They were I don't think Sasha got all of it there. Like, no kidding. Yeah. She threw herself.
Oh, she got all of it, but it was the floor.
And the problem was, another problem was, that was the last bit before they rolled in, Banks locked in the bank statement, and Nia tapped.
Because all of those botches also were all like head targeting botches as well. You know, that Spike Rana, there was another one that they flubbed that was it was all the bits where it was like she's targeting Nia's face to lock in the bank statement and get the tap out. Like, that all makes perfect sense. They should have done a bit more of it in general in the match anyway, I thought, because I think Nia was just on top for too much. They did a bit too much of the sort of like, Sasha just doesn't know when to quit. Ha 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 ha. But she's not really doing anything to fight back. She's just taking punishment and kicking out because she's an idiot. Like, a bit more of the sort of like, trying to cut her down, attacking the legs, all that kind of stuff would have worked nicely here, I think, and given you a bit more chance to be like, it doesn't look so bad on Sasha that she didn't get any offense in whatsoever. And the stuff she did get in was botched.
Yeah, so overall, is it too late for Sasha? I don't think in the grand scheme of things, like maybe at the end of 2019, she could have something going for her. But right now, and definitely through to the end of January, I think it's going to be a bit of a sort of an awkward couple of weeks for her.
It's a real shame, because I think the problem is also in light of Becky having her sort of moment last year, where she suddenly rose to the top of the SmackDown women's division. Doing the same with Sasha doesn't feel the same anymore. Like, I think 4 months ago, if this had happened, people would have like lost it for this, and it would have felt like a much bigger deal. But because we've got Becky doing that already, everyone, and Becky is also feuding with someone who is on Raw, it just overshadows this entire thing. Give it 6 months down the line, and Sasha suddenly, you know, she's been beaten down to this point, of the same point of Becky, of just being booked so badly that nobody cares. Suddenly there'll just be this upsurge of like, let's have Sasha Banks do something. And if they capitalize on that at the right moment, they've got two Becky Lynch style characters suddenly in the mix.
I mean, I tell you where I could get on board with that. And maybe even they could salvage it before January. Is if she turns heel.
Oh, yes,
like a heel Sasha Banks, a proper boss style Sasha Banks going against the babyface Ronda Rousey. That would be a perfect dynamic. It would refresh her character, just like what happened to Becky Lynch last year. But with the specter of the tag team championships, I don't see it happening because of the babyface act with Bayley. I don't know.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that.
Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Raw kicked off. This is the first episode of 2019.
Mm.
Have you missed Raw?
No. Funnily enough. No.
So that was almost 2 weeks of Raw we missed there with the Christmas Eve episode and then the New Year's Eve episode. I've watched bits, but I haven't missed it. Especially with all like the Wrestle Kingdom stuff and SmackDown. I think SmackDown was very good last week. Right. And coming back to Raw, it brought me down a lot.
Yes. I feel like everything in this episode, and we'll get into it further, obviously, but everything in this episode was like, story-wise, moving in the right direction. And then for some reason now, the wrestling is falling down. And that's, I feel like quite often the wrestling's quite good, but it's going nowhere story-wise. Or it's just going around in circles story-wise. And here it felt the opposite.
It's weird you say that, because I
felt... these two things together, that's all I want.
I felt that the in-ring wrestling was different. I felt like it was quicker.
Mm.
I felt like there weren't as many rest holds.
There were two Seth Rollins matches. Yeah. That's why.
And one was like 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
So yeah, with six people, so it's going to be naturally quicker. But the show started off at least a bit differently after the RIP graphic for Mean Gene Okerlund. It went straight into a cold open brawl backstage between Seth and Bobby.
I really like that. I thought that was a really cool opening. I was like, for once, we don't have Michael Cole saying, "It's Monday Night Raw, we're here." And then someone comes out and has a really long 20-minute promo to set up a match that's going to happen at the end of the show.
Instead they just did that in the next segment.
Yes, fine.
Yeah. But it was them brawling. You had all the undercarders out there. Zack Ryder did one of the most laughably bad, "Come on, Bobby, don't touch him." And he just kind of snuggled him behind and let Bobby do everything anyway.
But Zack Ryder has appeared on Raw.
Yes.
So that's already one up, almost one up.
Wasn't
from
a match, but yeah.
Yeah, he's been on Raw now.
He's actually on TV. And then they spill out into the main crowd. They go through the gorilla curtain. And then I don't know if it was just my feed, it went to break, and then it comes back and John Cena's music hits, and that's when the commentary starts.
Yes.
So I felt like it was a really weird hard cut. To just, like, that was not part of the show.
Yeah. It was the breaks, basically, for me in Raw, are just a mystery. It just goes away and it comes back and it's like, suddenly, something completely different is happening.
Yeah.
Like, when did any of this get...
But how did the last bit tie in?
What's going on?
And it kind of tied back into the end of this. So the next thing was John Cena. John Cena comes out. He's like, "Welcome to 2019, yada, yada, yada. I'm John Cena." And then he announced that he's entering himself in the Royal Rumble match, which we thought wasn't going to happen. Because he said he was going to film a movie at the end of January. He worked us.
He did.
A wrestler.
Unbelievable. He got a pop for his hair, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just taking the cap off for a second, got a little pop for the hair.
I think you've got to reference it now.
Yeah,
you've got to reference it at the start of everything. Drew McIntyre came out and was like, "I'm going to beat you up eventually."
Look at The Shield. Just look at Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Just look at Dolph Ziggler. I've beaten down everyone who's not a legend. He didn't use the word legend, did he? Because Dolph Ziggler's in there. But, you know,
all-time great
veterans.
You didn't really like Cena's rebuttals.
No, I did like the rebuttals, but I just felt it was a bit mean on Drew. I feel like Drew was doing a script that he'd been given and Cena was just going, "I'm John Cena, I can say whatever I like." So Drew's like doing this script to be like, "I'm a good boy, I'll get a universal title shot at the end of this if I say all these nice things that they've told me to say." And then John Cena goes like, "Get a new promo, huh?" And everyone goes, "Yeah, promo, loser, you saying stuff that you've been told to say like a monkey."
I think I was more on Cena's side here. I thought to say that, addressed, just like addressing the hair.
Yes.
Like, I'm addressing that. That's what everyone says. Every year someone says, "Well, I'm going to beat you up." It is quite repetitive. And then I thought Drew leveled up after that and was like, this time it's going
to
be different.
Well, I think the thing with Cena is because that's all people have to say to him. Because he appears every year around this time to just be like, "Ah, John Cena.
It's Cena season."
"Ah, John Cena. Here I am."
WrestleMania?
Me Mania now?
How can I get a match? How can I possibly get booked?
How could I, John Cena, movie star, possibly get a match?
I just show up around this
time. I'll have to propose to my girlfriend.
I'll have to call out The Undertaker. What will it be this year? I don't know what the Cena plans are. Mm. Very few WrestleMania plans, apart from the women's division, have kind of come out. I guess Seth and Brock Lesnar seems to be a direction.
Mm.
But I don't know what Cena would do. Drew's talking to Cena, and then Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush come out, kind of weirdly. Like, I felt it was quite contrived. They just came out complaining.
No. Contriving a six-man tag match?
Yes.
How could you?
And then Seth ran out to continue that brawl.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened in the interim of Cena's promo?
Yeah.
Were they just chasing each other? Were they always being held back?
Yeah, I hope they were Tom and Jerrying around the backstage area.
So, but whatever, that happened. And then I missed Dean Ambrose come out.
Mm.
I had a whole bit about how Dean Ambrose was just plopped into this six-man tag out of nowhere. And I had to tell the editor to take it out because I watched it back. He was there.
He was.
Clearly.
He just appeared.
Yeah. And then Finn Balor also appeared. Mm. But he got like a big entrance music bit, got a big spot dive over the top. Dave Meltzer says that's because he's getting a big push.
Yes.
For now.
But he also, when he ran down to the ring, and I don't know whether this is foreshadowing or anything like that, but when he runs down to the ring and Drew slides into the ring to meet him there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first thing Balor does is he grabs Drew and he chucks him over the top rope.
Ooh.
And then does the dive in Royal Rumble season, top rope.
That is good. So yeah, this of course predictably turned into Rollins, Cena and Balor taking on Lashley, McIntyre and Ambrose in what I thought was a really fun match.
I thought this was the best match on the show.
Yeah, 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 quite
easily.
Yeah,
it was really fun. Everyone got to do some good stuff. Like there was Cena got beat down for a bit. Balor predictably got beat down for a bit.
But then
he got a really good run at the end.
Yes, like, yeah, yeah.
Which is unlike normal Balor sort of stuff. You normally get Balor beaten down. He tags someone in. They do.
Baron Corbin comes
yes,
out.
Yes, exactly.
Costs him something. But I thought it was refreshing to see Cena get worked over because Cena these days is just, especially in six-man tag matches or any tag matches, he just stands on the apron, waits for the tag, the usual Cena six moves of doom, well, new usual.
Mm.
You get the punch at the end and it's all over. But here it was Cena getting worked over and I felt the focus was more on Balor and particularly Rollins at the end. He went crazy with McIntyre as well. I felt he gave a lot to McIntyre.
Yeah, it was McIntyre that, so when John was doing the six moves of doom and he got them up for the AA, McIntyre tagged himself in, didn't he? And
yeah.
Then steps through and takes out. And he did the same thing with a claymore to Balor
post the
coup de grace, I thought it was.
That sounds about right. So that was all good. And it was Rollins running wild at the end.
Mm.
He did this moonsault off the second turnbuckle that he occasionally busts out. It looked terrific. And then he beat Dean Ambrose with the curb stomp.
Yes.
Mm. And they're celebrating. This is, of course, to further the storyline that Triple H wants Seth Rollins to become the real Seth Rollins, which has no similarities to Vince McMahon and AJ Styles on SmackDown.
No.
It's a completely new, fresh idea. And as they're celebrating, another thing that didn't make sense, just from like, why is this playing now? Just a candid camera Titantron video of Triple H enjoying a coffee with Bayley and Sasha Banks.
Yeah. Like, that's like a production slip where someone's accidentally put that feed on. Like, someone's just gone, there we go. Like,
and then kept it there.
Yeah. Like, because you could have done, you know, they can talk about him being set this task by Triple H, but it's so obvious to be like, and then we do this, and then he's going to go speak to Triple H. Like,
yeah.
We could have just cut backstage or followed him backstage.
Yeah.
He finds Triple H. Then it's not so weird also that we're staring at Triple H, chatting up Bayley and Banks.
I just think he was saying, I'm so sorry about everything.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. NXT, I'd soon I'll be in control.
You just got to wait.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You just got to wait. Ride out 2019, guys. Those tag titles, they're coming. They promised me they've ordered them. They're stuck in shipping.
We keep missing the deliveries.
Yeah, I'm really. No one's in. It's in an Amazon locker somewhere. Yeah.
So it was just a bit contrived. And then Seth Rollins goes, I guess one possible argument for this, if Triple H is trying to make Seth Rollins angry, to show Triple H not watching Seth Rollins' match where he's just won it for his team, that would make Seth angry.
Mm.
And he's the cerebral assassin. That, however, is way too much legwork on my behalf to come up with something that makes sense here.
I also just think, like, if we're going to go mean Seth Rollins sort of heely guy, we've all got Ambrose doing that already. Like,
I think it'll just be a tweener face. Not even a tweener. It'll be just like a badass face.
How many of those do we need to have? Let's just replicate the success of Becky over and over. Control-C, Control-V, Control-C, Control-V.
That's called the Attitude Era. I'm fine with that.
Everyone is Austin.
Hunter said... is it okay? Have I tapped something?
We can just see your bottom of your thing.
There we go. It's okay. So Seth storms backstage, slaps the coffee out of Hunter's hands, and demands the Intercontinental title rematch. Triple H gives it to him.
Mm.
Falls count anywhere.
I love the fact that in WWE, getting a chance at anything is you just intimidate the management. It's just there's no hope for people who are actually just like nice guys who are like good at wrestling.
That's why Daniel Bryan turned heel.
Yeah, exactly. He just knew that he would never get a shot because he was too polite.
And this is another example, though, of the automatic rematch clause being scrapped, but then rematches continually happening week after week.
Yes.
Just want to put that out there.
But for story reasons, not just because.
It's better, yeah. I guess.
It's not.
It's a little bit better.
Look.
At least they're given a reason.
Yeah, because you turn up and you with contract and you go, well, I have an automatic rematch clause. But now all you got to do is slap a coffee. And then you're straight in there, isn't it?
Then we got the
Bapalate
Oakland tribute with Hulk Hogan returning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He got a pop.
He did get a pop. He got a Hogan charm, didn't he?
I mean, look, I thought the Mean Gene Oakland tribute package was brilliant.
It was a really nice video package.
Yes. And Hulk Hogan's promo afterwards was very nice. But just to look at this potentially from a cynical perspective,
mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan, there's a danger because of everything that's happened that he might get booed when he makes his return to Raw or SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
One way to mitigate those boos, because people don't generally boo
death,
is to bring him back.
More people should boo death, though, because it is bad.
Yeah, death's terrible.
Yeah. As long as you're not booing the fact that you don't boo the person who died, you boo death in general.
Well, they kind of did that.
Boo to death!
When Jimmy Snooker's video package was played, and everyone was kind of like, yeah? Are we cheering this guy? But Hulk Hogan got an okay reaction.
I think, and I thought it was pretty, like, he did quite well until the very end.
Oh, what didn't you like, brother?
So, I didn't like the bit where he was like, I'm going to do this one more time because you're wearing my T-shirt. T-shirt, which you can now buy on WWE.com/shop. But, like, there was a bit in the promo, so he goes, let me tell you something, Mean Gene, and he runs through the various high-profile dead WWE stars saying, Gene's going to be up there booking a tag match with Macho Man.
Ultimate
Warrior, Mr. Perfect. Andre the Giant's going to be the special guest referee. But, Gene, I don't know why you're there getting all swole in the gym, because you've only got the choice of Mae Young and Moolah. He almost got there without just being an ist of some kind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you think that his promo actually ended all that bit before?
Yes. And I think he just stuck a bit in where he was like, you're going to have to shag one of them, aren't you, Gene?
I think he's like, I'm doing pretty well at this. They like me. I'm going to continue talking. And everyone's back saying, no! Press the button that shows Triple H drinking coffee again. Oh, well.
He was so close as well to just being like, you've got through it without just being a dinosaur, for crying out loud.
I just thought it just made me sad. Because listening through all those names, I was like, at least half of them died too young.
Yes.
And, but yeah, I see your point as well. It was a bit of a weird...
Well, considering that we're also in the generation of a women's evolution and we get Hulk Hogan out there being like two of the forerunners of that, two of the people who laid all the groundwork for that. Well, one of
controversially.
Them. Controversially. One of them definitely did. One of them maybe not.
Yeah.
But they at least are the forerunners of women's evolution. Maybe we shouldn't say that the only reason they're in heaven is for Gene Oakland to choose between them.
It's a really... really select group of people in heaven.
Yes,
those are the only people. Yeah. You don't really watch The Good Place anymore, but that's what it is. Anyway, too much death talk. Let's get on to Dying Tag Team Acts now, with Chad Gable and Bobby Roode taking on the Revival.
Depressing segue.
Yes.
This was weird, wasn't it?
I didn't really watch this angle last week, but the Revival were cheated out of a win last week.
Funnily enough, the Revival getting cheated out of a win. Mm. I don't understand what this story is at all. The heels rightfully complaining that they've been cheated out of wins. They should have been the tag team champions six times over by now. And the babyfaces act like they are legitimate champions.
Yeah.
Thus completely devaluing the fact that they are champions.
And babyfaces.
I don't understand. What is the end game? Like, that's what I don't know. This is like Lucha House Party rules. It's just like, what is the end game of this at all?
It's like, I keep seeing people defending this as like, oh, it's the new era now. I'm like, but how? This is the same storyline as the Lucha House Party stuff. It's an unfair...
Same as the B team. It's the same as the B team storyline,
yeah,
essentially. But the B team was accidents, and this is now literally like rules breaking stuff. Like
rules breaking match.
I was looking for a better word, but I went with rules breaking.
So this was a lumberjack match with the rest of the tag division out there, mm-hmm, which just made the rest of the tag division also look weak. And I suppose the reason...
Because it is.
Yeah, but it very is. Very is.
It very... You were looking for a better word. Oh, he's caught the dumbs.
I suppose the reason they were out there was to stop any rope break things happening in the pins. Like to say, hey, referee, his leg is on the rope.
Yeah.
In which case, I think that should be a second referee match. I don't know what they're building to here.
Or alternatively, could they not have been there to just push his leg back in? At least then it's just a legitimate win with cheating. That's fine. Like, just push his leg back in. I don't know.
And like the fact that Chad and Bobby aren't saying, hey, sorry, guys. There was a mistake there.
Mm.
We're going to give you another shot. Like, it does nobody any favours. The Revival look dumb because they're chumps for losing like this twice in a row. It doesn't feel like it's unjust. It's just like, no, you're rubbish. Like you said, Gable and Roode don't look good because now they're cheating to win. And the company, just the referees, all the officials, everything you're meant to buy in as authority, they don't look good either because they're missing these blatant calls.
Well, WWE needs to bloom in Hawkeye, like in tennis, don't they? They need to be able to go back, rewatch the footage, and then make a different... it's the Revival. But it's just... And this match wasn't even good for like the Revival either. It's not like... The story doesn't work... Also, if the Revival lose the entire match to have a tiny bit of momentum at the end and then the finish is a smash, it's just like, where does this go?
Yeah, because Gable and Roode took 90% of this.
Yes.
And they looked great. I thought Gable in particular. And the Revival only came back in the last 30 seconds or so. But they did have a great bit where Gable did a pinning German suplex, and I think it was Wilder or Scott. No, it was Dawson did a crossbody off the top rope.
That was Wilder. Yeah.
It was great. But then, that rubbish finish.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, you know, it's telling that they're now wearing the FTR tights. Mm. So they know what's happening to them. It's weird that WWE, someone made them those tights as well. So someone's literally going like, the storyline is, screw you guys. Like, such a weird story to be like, you're just going to be beaten down to the point that nobody cares about you now. So,
well, maybe that's it. if they are going to AEW because they're one of the rumored names with all the Revival Young Bucks interaction. Maybe, hopefully, the Revival cannot get out of WWE fast enough.
They have to, because what a waste of time.
Mm. Then we got Baron Corbin still facing Elias.
Oh yeah,
new era.
Baron Corbin still wearing his suit.
I picked up on that too. Why?
Go back to the old thing. Like, I liked the Lone Wolf thing. Like, I didn't like... Obviously, no one liked when he wasn't wearing a T-shirt, but just wear the vest. Like...
Well, he hasn't got hair now.
I know, but he'd look badass. I just don't think he needs to be so suited anymore because he's not an authority figure. Like, he's not an authority figure, so let's put him back to being like a badass. Unless he's going to be still trying to make rules or whatever.
That could be a good gimmick.
Trying to, yeah, if he's still making rules.
It's now a no DQ match. No, you can't do that, mate. Boom, I'm hitting him anyway. The only value I can see in this is that Corbin actually got quite a lot of heat.
Mm.
Like, people started going, you got fired. And maybe part of that is because they can see him still in these office clothes.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I mean,
lean into it more. I think you could do more with it.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah, just don't have this weird in between phase where it just looks like a mistake.
Because he could get up in the middle of matches that he's losing and walk out and be like, "Well, this match is called off now." Mm. And then people would be like, "No, it's not." Like, you know, you just keep doing stuff like that where he's just making rules that benefit him.
It's a handicap match now. Yeah. Someone runs down, helps him out. But yeah, this is. I'm completely sick of Baron Corbin and Elias.
Mm.
It was the exact same template. Elias does a little guitar bit. Corbin interrupts, match.
I'm bored of the Elias thing. I think I'm even bored of the Elias thing. Because I think even as a babyface as well, it's pretty dull without the jokes.
He needs more jokes. Yeah. The initial turn of Elias was very good.
Mm.
But I think it's more that he's been flattened out into Corbin-Lashley feuds.
Yes.
Rather than, if he was able to work with someone else, I think it would freshen him up a bit.
Mm.
Then we got the on their way to WWE thing again. It's still happening.
They're on the coach.
There's been reports that this first episode of 2019 was going to have loads of angles. I was thinking yesterday, maybe I'll have to do a 10-minute review of this week's Raw. Like a sort of Raw After Mania level quality show. No one debuted.
No.
Same video packages. EC3 and Lacey Evans debuted.
On the main event taping in a dark match, or two dark matches.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
that won't be aired?
That won't be aired, yeah.
What's going on?
No one knows. Also, you wouldn't want to debut them on main event. You wouldn't you wouldn't want to spend weeks doing promos after promo being like, these people are coming to WWE. Just kidding, it's main event. It's basically not WWE.
That would, of course, be awful, especially for EC3, because he has tremendous upside on the main roster. His promos are excellent. But that would be the most WWE thing ever to that. Then we got a Dean Ambrose promo. I thought it was quite good. Mm. He was backstage in those weird industrial style areas they find backstage with pipes and blue lights.
Yes.
And he said, I never like 6-man tags anyway. It's unnatural. So maybe we can get away from germaphobe Dean into abomination Dean, where he doesn't like anything that's out of the norm. He's angry about the Seth main event. Now we got what was my personal favourite segment the show. Which was Braun Strowman and having a quote face-to-face or more side-by-side confrontation with Brock Lesnar.
This is so bad.
So this was weird from the start. Braun Strowman comes out. His music's going. Everyone's going like, yeah, Braun, dun, 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 dun. I haven't really kept up with what Braun's been doing for the last 2 weeks, though.
Not a lot, really.
Yeah.
He's still resting his elbow, I believe.
He's not medically cleared.
No, exactly. So he's just turning up.
Mm. And he comes out and he gets in the ring, does, like, he poses for too long.
Yeah.
He does the, because I've watched this back twice, I enjoyed it so much. He starts to do the get these hands taunt for like a few more hand grabs than feels normal. And then he goes to get a microphone from a production crew member, gets it, looks at it, then gives it back and goes, no, and rips his shirt off and then he's like, come out now, Brock. It just looked like he was meant to say something there. So I think he started forgetting his lines immediately. And that's why he's posing. He's like, what are my lines? What are my lines? I can't remember.
Get these words in my brain.
Anyone, I'm dying out here. Please help me.
What's my line? What's my line?
So Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar help him out by laughing at how bad Braun Strowman is being on the mic. So it's this horrible setup where Braun is in the ring and Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar appear on the Titantron for the live crowd.
Mm.
But we're shown on the TV broadcast, Brock and Paul looking into the camera backstage on one side. Makes total sense. But the other side is Braun also looking direct into the camera when he needs to be looking at the Titantron to see what Paul and Brock are saying.
Yes.
In the ring.
Yeah. What I don't understand about this, it's like, and I said this earlier, it's like they just discovered FaceTime. It's like when your parents just discover FaceTime, they're like, look at this new thing, and they start FaceTiming you all the time. It's like, nobody talks like this. Mm. I'm just going to go on the phone like a normal person, or ideally WhatsApp you so I don't have to hear your voice. But here it was just like, they just discovered this new technology to stream from the back to the Titantron to Braun in the ring. And the delay was such that every time somebody thought the other person had finished talking, they started talking, but then they hadn't finished talking, so they ended up interrupting each other, but then it would end, and then there would be a long pause while they went, are they finished? Oh, and more things that I have to say about how bad you are at wrestling, because I will beat you when we have a match at the Royal Rumble. Are they done? No, you won't, sir.
I don't think it's connection issues.
No, you don't.
I think Braun legit forgot everything he was supposed to say. Like, people have talked about that before. Like, Mick Foley's talked about it. Christian's talked about it. And Mick Foley's one of the best promos of all time. Mm. You get out there and sometimes it just doesn't work. Yeah. And you don't know what the hell you're doing. And there's so many people watching you. And you just have
you
to
just
try
panic,
and...
Yeah.
Scramble through like that time as well. Wide one.
Is that why he went, hey, Beastie Boy, yeah. I'm waiting. And I just thought, Braun's sex line is really weird. I've ripped my shirt off already.
Do you want these hands?
Would you like to get these hands?
So, but like he's taking these. Yeah, there's a long pause at the start. Mm. Braun just looking into the camera. And after a while, he goes, hey, Beastie Boy. Like the line you said, then another long pause, and then something else, like,
You're back there, are you? And you're then not coming out here.
And because you can see both sets of guys on stage on camera at the same time, you can see how awkward they are. And Brock goes, "Is that it? Is he done?" And he laughs, and then Paul goes, "That wasn't very good. Is that the best line you've got?" And it cuts back to Braun, who's, again, just trying to think of anything to say. And he goes,
I'm surprised your butt isn't hurting from all the crap that comes out of Paul Heyman's mouth because he talks crap, you're a big, stupid man, Brock.
It's effectively that, but with more pauses and awkwardness.
It was unbelievably bad. I think that's a problem as well, because I think... The issue with Braun Strowman is that he's got to the stage of like superstardom where most of what he does is catchphrase based. Mm. So he's Little Britain Series 3 now, where there is no other comedy beyond just write a scene that gets you to where you can say, get these hands. Yeah. And here, obviously, he had to say some other things. So he got in Beastie Boy, which is one of the ones he did a while ago.
Unfortunately.
And Get These Hands, he did that one.
Classic.
I'm a Monster Among Men.
Love that one. All the hits.
Yeah, he played the hits, but then he ran out of things to say incredibly quickly.
Mm. Which is weird, because in real life, Braun is very quick-witted, and he can come up with... He's like, sometimes he's a catchphrase machine on Instagram. You look at those hashtags.
Yeah.
Banging weights and eating steaks, all that sort of stuff. But here, I just think he had a terrible night.
He had a bad day.
I don't think it says that Braun is a bad promo who can't do promos. Because I personally think we've seen enough of him in unscripted interviews and scripted to say that's not the case. I just think he's brain shut off.
I think also because it's such... But it was such an awkward setup as well.
Oh, yeah.
Things you don't
that
do...
Wouldn't
things
help.
You, but things you don't... Things Braun Strowman doesn't do particularly... is do two-camera promos. Like, he does in-ring promos in front of the crowd where you play to the crowd.
Yeah.
Here, he was stood in the middle of the ring, facing away from everyone that's actually in the room watching him, talking to the camera. It'd be like if I just ignored you the entire time and all I did was do this.
I sometimes do that.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah. But it's because we're talking to our friends, the SWAF Nation. That's the camera.
I'm aware. But, like, if they were, but it's just that setup. There was no reason to have it either. That's my biggest problem with this whole promo was, like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Why didn't Brock and Paul just come out on the ramp, say, we're not coming down to the ring, we're not doing this face-off, and then you could play the entire promo better, because they can hear each other without a delay, in the same room, do the whole promo again, and then at the end they go to turn. They turn to walk away. Brock hands the title over, walks down to the ring, does the loop, and then walks off again. It can be the exact same thing, just without the awkwardness of having to do this weird side by side nonsense. Because we've bought a bit of tech, have we?
You saying just do it better?
I think they've just bought a bit of tech and they just really wanted to use it this
new
week.
New software.
Yeah, that's it.
Or Gary's just like Gary in production. Yeah. I figured out we can do two of these at the same time. Well, they did that with Samoa Joe and Brock last 2 years ago.
If you just put both faders halfway, it would do.
And that was really effective, but they were both backstage. Mm. The real problem here is Strowman was in the ring. But yet, the way it ended was after Paul and Brock. Just really, Brock was not interested in this. As soon as he realised this is going downhill, he's like, well, I'm not going to care.
I mean, the man is stealing money from WWE, isn't he? He's just stealing cash.
Oh, lock him up. And he was like, I'll go out to the ring, I think, because, yeah, I'll see what else he's got. And Paul's like, can we just go that way? Because I want to leave. Yeah. These are legit things they said to each other.
Yeah.
And then Brock comes out. He walks around the ring, teases he's going to get in, and then walks off. So that's a good way to get heat. But after that segment that had no intensity and was so clumsy, it was like my first sexual encounter with a woman. But, you know, just it was not... I don't know why I used that as an analogy.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it was just, it was awkward and fumbling.
Because that's yet to happen as well.
One day.
One of
these
days.
It's how I imagine my first sexual encounter with a woman will be. So that was... But I got a lot of joy out of that segment.
Yeah, but this was this was another one of the magic cuts of WWE, because it then went to a break and then come back from the break. Who's in the ring? Jinder and Alicia
and the Singh brothers. Yeah, doing a Shanti promo.
I was just like, what? Because I was baffled by the end of the Braun and Brock Lesnar thing, and then suddenly just like, and hard cut, completely different mood.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they were good. Like,
yeah.
And here's thing. Here's like a match between this person you really like and this person you really like. That you haven't seen before. But it wasn't. It was Jinder Mahal, who did have some quite good promo work with the crowd, I thought. He started making fun of people who were actually there rather than just pre-written lines.
I think he essentially did your mum jokes.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
I miss those. I feel like in the snowflake generation now, you can't get a good your mum joke.
No.
There was a fat guy joke as well.
Yes, there was. Yeah.
which is fine. I think sometimes don't want to shame
the
anyone.
One where he said the guy, but he did say to the guy, one guy, he was like, "You there with the right foot and two left feet?" It's like
that was weird.
He's
not dancing,
or he might have been dancing to the music. Mm. But if you don't have one right foot and two left feet, you have two left feet because you don't become a tripod for this. You're so bad at dancing, you've basically got three legs.
And they're all clumsy. But this turned into Ember Moon and Apollo Crews coming out to have a intergender tag match, which was over in 30 seconds.
Oh, yes. Squashy McSquasherton.
Mm. So mixed match challenge is over.
Mm.
I don't get why this has to be a thing. And also, I just feel kind of uncomfortable. I don't think they thought, let's just put the majority of our non-Caucasian people in this segment.
Mm.
I just think it's a testament to the overall booking, bad booking of WWE and their focus on particular stars that these wrestlers have found themselves, and he said these people, these wrestlers have found themselves in just this rubbish third hour filler segment that means nothing.
And also, if it only lasts 30 seconds, why couldn't something else have just been a bit longer? It doesn't do anything for anyone. I don't like, you know, Apollo Crews, they tried to push him. Was it last week was the gauntlet match?
There was a thing in the summer as well that they did.
So like, they tried to push him. Ember Moon's always kind of been like involved in things, but not really going anywhere. This doesn't do anything for either of them that makes you feel like, oh, they're going to be a big deal.
Ember Moon is the classic, let's just put her in this thing.
Yeah.
And then, but she'll never get a storyline.
But basically, she'll just do the eclipse, and everyone will go, "That's a cool move, isn't it?"
Because
it's
great,
and it's a fantastic move, and she is great. But I just feel like this was a waste of time.
Totally,
this segment.
It was. And the main event, because we've already talked about the Ronda Rousey Alexa Bliss stuff, was Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins in a Falls Count Anywhere match, which I really enjoyed until the finish. You said you felt it was a bit contrived.
I'm not actually a massive fan of Falls Count Anywhere stuff because I just think backstage brawls don't do it for me. I just find it a bit like
the atmosphere is a bit weird.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, but then there's also all these bits where you find something on wheels and then it takes them ages to position it and then they go, and then the other person's well out of the way.
Never
and it
hits.
Clatters into something, or Seth Rollins finds a shovel at one point in this match and then swings really high and hits a ladder and it falls over and everyone's like, oh, it's like, it's naff. I just think it's rubbish. Because considering the hardcore matches that people have in the ring, like the stuff that Sami Callihan does in the ring where people can see it, you don't need to go backstage and start hitting ladders with shovels to seem hardcore.
I like the, especially if it's a Falls Count Anywhere match, the idea that you can pin someone on the, you know, the in the backstage area.
Yeah, but there should be a reason for it. Like, if you're going to go backstage, have a plan of, like, why you go there and what the finish is going to be or what the big spots are going to be. Because here it was just, they went backstage for about 5 minutes, chucked each other into some heavy things, and then came back out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find that a bit, like, if you're going to go backstage, let's do the finish with something. Use something back there to do the finish or to do a big spot that's quite unique. Don't just go, well, there's lots of heavy stuff back there. Chuck you into that. Push over this ladder. All these things are under the ring, by the way. Like, you know.
That big thing, that giant trolley thing. Oh, that's about 20 trolleys long.
Yes, yeah.
I
didn't hit him with it. Got to hit him with it otherwise.
I think I liked it, first of all, because I don't mind backstage brawls. And also because this is the match they should have had at TLC.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Remember, after that big blood feud, Dean Ambrose turns on Seth after Roman Reigns announces his leukemia. So much emotion there. And then they lock up and they have a wrestling match.
Mm.
But here it was like Dean walks out for his entrance and Seth attacks him right away. And then it brawls backstage and through the crowd. And weirdly, they put him through the announcer's table in the commercial break.
Mm.
They had to do a replay of that. That's really weird. I quite liked it because it just makes it feel more chaotic. But yeah, I thought Seth did really well here. And he had it won, damn it!
Mm.
He hit the Falcon Arrow into a buckle bomb and then a super kick and a curb stomp.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to go for the pin, but Bobby Lashley pulled him out. I thought he might win it here. I bought into a title win.
I did, but I also was sort of going like, they just can't, can they?
Not to Dean. No.
Just not to Dean. And also just not again.
Yeah.
In this last like year span where he's just been Intercontinental Champion, like Seth is destined for the top spot
at
some point in the future.
Yeah, like this whole episode of Raw was Seth Rollins. Everything good on this show was Seth Rollins. Mm. And he really was the focus. But it's just a shame that I would have appreciated a better finish.
Yes.
Like maybe have one of these NXT call-ups come in to cost him the match.
Mm.
Because Bobby Lashley getting involved, it's...
It felt a bit rote, and it felt like, and that's the problem with these three-hour shows, is when you set this up in the beginning, and we've got, you know, Lashley and Seth are brawling before the show has even begun, they have another match, that all plays out, and then at the end, Lashley comes and costs him the match. It was so obvious that was going to be the case here.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, okay, well, maybe we should do a bit less foreshadowing, or give us a week to forget.
Yeah, yeah, or just I love foreshadowing. Just make it an interesting thing that you're foreshadowing. Mm. I don't find Bobby Lashley that engaging, especially with Rollins. So just one more note on this. The fans started chanting that they want tables just after the announcer's table break, which to me proves a long-running debate in our office that announcers' tables aren't tables. And after that, Lashley put Rollins through a table.
Mm.
In the post-match beatdown, which I think is bad psychology. I think Lashley should have done something else or teased putting him through the table, then kicked the table over and done something else.
Mm.
That would have been a true heel. But overall, I gave this a 2 out of 5 Raw. I thought it was a pretty lackluster way to start 2019 anyway, especially with the idea that this was meant to be a new era, because I still haven't seen anything to prove to me that it is.
Yeah.
What about you?
Lackluster would be my ultimate description of it. I think it was, I feel like some of it was making steps in the right direction. Like, Balor seems like he's actually coming out strong now.
Yeah.
Drew is maintaining momentum overall.
He's level.
He's very, he's a plateau. Yeah. But he's a good, he's like a nice Scottish a one that's quite high up. Seth seems to be going up the card, which is nice. Like, Banks versus Rousey at Royal Rumble, I'm excited about. Not necessarily after the Nia match, like, but before the match, I was like, yes, great. I think things are moving in the right direction. They're just not getting there with much grace.
Yeah, that's a good way of... They keep falling over.
Yes.
Yeah. Doesn't work if you start laughing now.
Yeah, I know.
You're laughing at the thing we did in the intro.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
For me,
it's only been a second. For you guys, as much as you can make it through the Raw review.
Yeah, I wonder how many people last until the end. We don't really get those stats from iTunes. Mm. Maybe Luke does. He doesn't tell me about them if we do.
Write in if you've heard this bit.
Yeah, anything to say to Luke editing this from home right now?
Why? Yeah, stop playing Castlevania. Play something new.
Yeah, that's a thing. Why? You've got Spider-Man. It sold 9 million copies, I read this morning.
One of the top games of the year.
What was the top?
I think the one that won the most awards was God of War, which came out in April.
Is that like Hogs of War, the greatest game ever made?
According to Randy Datson. No, it's not like Hogs of War, thankfully. It's God of War, and it's very, very good. That won most of the awards. Spider-Man was in the running for a lot of them, as was Red Dead. Celeste was another one that was in a lot of the running, which was amazing. But yes, God of War won out. Overall,
cool.
Yeah,
but Spider-Man sold the most. Spider-Man wins money.
Spider-Man won money and was fairly close in the critical acclaim as well. But I think before that, God of War was the biggest selling game of the year. So Spider-Man just beat Sony. Cleared up this year, basically. I think
that's the dream, isn't it? To be both critically and commercially successful.
Have a Spider-Man in it. That's basically it. And also be a very good game.
So you're more versed in video games. Is that a thing that happens? Or is there like... So say Sony is your WWE.
Yes.
Do people talk about other games like indie promotions that would never break through into Ollie Davis's consciousness?
Yes, I guess so. Like, indie games is a massive scene now. And there are many that do. Like, Celeste is an indie game that broke through quite well this year. Sold really well. It's made...
Is that more like Juno, though? Would a movie comparison be more apt?
Probably, actually. It probably is a bit more like a Juno kind of thing. It was made by a very small team called... the developer studio is called Matt Makes Games. They made Towerfall before that. And it's like... The story is this girl's climbing this mountain. The mountain's called Celeste. Her name's Madeline. And she's basically battling her inner demons as she does. And it's all metaphorical. But the game itself is this really, like... beautifully tight platformer where it's kind of like rock hard and you will always have instant restarts and you'll end up doing like a screen for like 30 minutes or whatever and then you'll suddenly get through that screen and you're like, oh my god, that was so good, because you just become such an expert at just really fine like fingertip movement to just do stuff. And then you get to the end and you complete it and you're like, wow, I completed Celeste. And then a week later, which is what happened to me, good games done quick happens and someone's playing Celeste and they finish it in 10 minutes and you're like, well, that took me literally 8 hours today. So
I like how you use both the terms rock hard and super tight.
Yeah, I realized I was getting and then fingertip fine fingertip move. I was like getting it more and more in there.
You were getting excited about that game.
Love Celeste.
Do you want a Wrestle Talk get better?
Hit me with it.
So this is from Shivam Sharma, who actually got in touch before. This is an update. Now, there's an immediate problem with his email. Hi, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie, and Randy too.
Oh, no.
This is only going to
get to his head. Don't encourage him.
He went to a Defiant show at the weekend up in Newcastle, which is, of course, the former What Culture Pro Wrestling thing. I think he only went in the hope that someone might recognize him. He had to go to Newcastle 4 hours on the train from here just with a hope.
By God, he's desperate.
And he told us a story that someone did. But only after he had... I feel like Randy told this guy hey, do you recognize me from anywhere?
I think he was wearing his WrestleTalk t-shirt, right? Okay. So he said he was wearing his WrestleTalk t-shirt. So he said someone had noticed that he was wearing the t-shirt and came up to him and started chatting to him. And then only midway through the conversation was like, oh, are you that guy? I think that Randy was humming Waterfalls the entire time, and that's why.
Or immediately, hi, I'm Randy Datsun from WrestleTalk. Yeah. You might know me from these things. The guy is still talking. About 3 minutes later, hey, wait a second. Aren't you the guy?
You're that guy.
With the mediocre voice.
You're the butler guy from the Christmas one.
We love you, Randy. And that one Evolution pay-per-view review.
Oh, yes.
That was his big debut. That was 2 days after he started working here full-time. So anyway, stop saying hi to Randy in emails, folks. You can say not hi to Randy. You can say hi, Luke, Ollie and Laurie, but not hi to Randy. That's how all email correspondence must now start. As you guys might remember, 3 to 4 months ago, I shared my fitness progress here, and currently I'm 18% body fat. When I started working out, I was 37%. That's over half.
Mm.
That's amazing.
I can't picture what 18% body fat looks like, but the numbers sound good, so that's...
So what I'm doing is I've lifted up my top.
This is... Honestly, it's...
I've pinched the corner of my stomach, and I'm wiggling it.
So it's just making a noise.
So
no, stop.
So that thing,
that's this,
18 of those.
I can't look at that.
Because I am 0%. my goal for 2019 is to get to 9% body fat. Are you familiar with torsos and body fat thresholds?
No.
So 9% body fat on the vast majority of people. That's going to be a rock hard six pack.
Wow.
So that's big.
That is big. So we're not far off if you're at 18% then, are you?
I mean, it's double.
You're on a three pack.
There'll be no definition there. It depends on people. But usually you got to hit the 12% mark.
To get your definition.
Do you want me to get my stomach out again?
Please don't. Please.
It's covered in hair is the problem.
Please don't.
And I'm planning to make a video.
Yeah, but sometimes the hair gives you definition, because if you sculpt the hair enough, or if you dyed strips of it, you could make it look like a six pack.
There's a particular light in my bathroom. And if I cough at 8:22 p.m. with it on in the winter, I've kind of got a four pack.
Whoa.
Yeah. And they're going to... So this Shivram is going to make a video journey based on his progress, so we can check it out. Here are some pictures. So that's the before pic, I think, wearing an AJ Styles t-shirt. And there's a slimmer version of him there.
Hmm.
Well done, Shiv. You've got to be more...
I was trying to work if they're not the other way around. I don't...
Maybe that one's the... Oh, yeah, that one's the before.
Yeah, and this one's the after.
And then this more defined chin line is the after.
Yes.
Nice. Good work there in the AJ Styles t-shirt. Woo!
Very good. Keep it up.
You'll be
under 12% six-pack guy in no time.
I think Luke is a lot better at giving feedback to the get better stuff.
Well, my only feedback would be from a photography point of view, and I don't want to get into... another YouTuber doing this kind of thing, but we need to see more of your body, man.
Yeah.
Like, more just because you're cutting off the top half of you. So it's basically just your head in the picture. So we can't really see any progress.
Sort of like, we want clothes on.
Definitely keep the clothes on.
I mean, is it okay to say tight-fitting clothes?
No.
Because that would help.
Absolutely.
See the
but
difference.
Ideally, not a coat.
These are effectively selfies.
Yes.
While you're wearing a coat.
Yeah.
But in your face, it definitely looks like you've lost weight. This is why we can't...
Luke would be better.
you've got an episode where the two cynical people are addressing this. Luke would be like, man, you're the best. It's amazing. Keep on going. Because Luke's a better person than us.
But mathematically, not photographically bad. Mathematically, you've done amazingly.
We can't be happy for you. Because you've done amazing, man. We cannot take that away. You said, objectively great.
Yeah, objectively
you've halved
great.
Your body fat. That's incredible.
That is amazing.
That is a life accomplishment.
I don't think I've ever halved anything.
Mm.
That's why I failed maths.
But, yeah, you need. We can't really see that on the photographic evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So just, send us another email.
All I'm saying is I potentially don't believe you.
I mean, no, I believe, wow, you've gone, in there.
I've gone really deep.
It's almost like you're only reading it out to get on the show. Like, the only reason they've sent it in is to get on the show. That's what you're saying.
No. I'd never say anything like that.
Shivam, we're only joshing. But
keep it up, buddy.
Better pictures next time. Do you want some crap jokes?
Hit me.
To finish this off. Does Luke do this with you?
The jokes?
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure how elated my reaction will be.
No, my reaction is usually nothing. But this is a particularly awful, awful joke that I'm pretty sure that they've made up themselves. So
is it awful in the way you would be proud of it, or awful in the way that
it's bad, and it's a long setup as well. It's a long contrived setup, which is fun from just how far down the rabbit hole they've gone. But overall, not so good. There was a boy named Carol. Because of his name, he had to endure a lot of teasing and bullying at school. Eventually, he overcame these bullies and married his high school sweetheart. When they had their first child, Carol let his wife choose the name, and she named the child Love, inspired by Carol's unique name and love for life. Unfortunately, Love had to endure a lot of teasing and bullying herself, and one day she had enough and came home screaming at her dad, blaming him for giving her such a quote-unquote stupid name. Carol took the blame to protect his wife, but Love had heard enough and shot him with a dart gun.
Whoa.
Carol's wife came home and sees her husband lying on the floor. In shock, she runs over and asks what's happened. Carol beckons her closer and whispers into her ear, "I got shot through the heart and you're to blame, darling. You gave Love a bad name." So that's from Connor Curran, Pledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
That was, so that's a song, right?
Yeah. It's a Bon Jovi.
There are so many bits in there that were unnecessary.
Yeah.
The dart gun, the high school sweetheart.
Why a dart gun?
I think maybe
easier access to
it makes it. It makes it feel a lot more devastating.
Killed him with a blowpipe.
So, yeah, well, that's all we've got time for today. Enjoy editing this, Luke. And thank you, Swaff Nation. How does Luke end these?
Oh, a bit of a plug for stuff. And then I love you, bye.
Yeah. Give us money on Patreon. Subscribe to the podcast if you're listening to this and not subscribed. Hey, give us a review on iTunes. We'll read those out again soon. We'll see you tomorrow for the SmackDown review. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.